Blog Talk Radio.
Confusing self-conscious with self-confidence. Confusing self-conscious with self-confidence. Confusing self-conscious with self-confidence. Confusing self-conscious with self-confidence. So you monogamous but body positive. Both pills you swallowing for a following. What he got to offer, he don't see the kids that he fathering. If you won't bother them, why you respond to them? Careful where you plant them seeds before you water them. Say you empower women, but don't acknowledge them. Feminism, not what you embodying. You false hope, you false positive. But eat your fruit and drink your water then. I don't click up, I don't click up, nah. I don't click up, I don't click up. That's why I don't click up, I don't click up. I don't click up. I don't click up, cause y'all kiss up, rep your set, then y'all switch up and don't pick up. But real friends don't ask for favors. Say you betrayed like you supposed to pay them. Cop the White House like you supposed to save them. Ungrateful, wonder how I Kanye'd them, huh? Pressure to be an icon, baby. Stressing to be an icon lately, but a lost soul can't lead the people, nah. A lost soul can't lead the people, nah. A lost soul can't lead the people, A lost soul can't lead the people, Confusing the celebrity with your integrity. You drink a Hennessy for your therapy. Can't get no peace of mind, can't get no serenity. But the public ain't the enemy, it's the enemy. So, what you gonna leave with your legacy, It's like we don't believe in longevity, I was overseas, it seems that we the only people with dreams of material things. Confusing self-conscious with self-confidence. Confusing self-conscious with self-confidence. Confusing self-conscious with self-confidence. We lying to ourselves, that's what the problem is.
Look, the party's over. It's been a long vacation, and your fans are waiting to see you again. And you guys all know how you look in rehearsal is how you come across on stage. So let's do it one more time from the top, and let's get busy.
Why does it hurt so bad? Make me feel so sad inside.
the niggas, strictly for the niggas. This is for the niggas, the real niggas. This is for the niggas, strictly for the niggas. This is for the niggas, the real niggas. This is for the niggas, strictly for the niggas. This is for the niggas, the real niggas.
Let me become one within your figure. Wanna feel the pressure on my face, fainting for a place, baby.
Show me your face, I'm gonna say something. You play a game, so I'm gonna eat something.
It rules everything around me. For me, baby.
Girl, I wanna hear you perfect.
I wanna hear you perfect.
I'ma put my weight on.
Girl, I wanna hear you
scream for me, baby.
Dial-in number, if you should happen to be listening in online and you'd like to call in and talk about it, is 319-527-6300, and please press 1. If you're already here and you'd like to join in on this topic this evening, please press 1. The topic for tonight for discussion: what can a man do to demonstrate to a woman that he is worthy to lead. What can a man do to demonstrate to a woman that he is worthy to lead? You know, I've thought about this this question for a while now, and exactly how I would actually answer this as a man, from a male point of view, from a male perspective. Some men, not all men, but some men are natural born leaders. Some men are natural born leaders. But that does not mean he is worthy to lead. Because when you say worthy, you think about a position of a value and a place that I've earned. Just because I'm a man and I'm a natural born leader doesn't mean that I've earned the right to lead you, woman, in our relationship dynamic. So one word comes to mind when I think about this, and that word is consistency. I'm going to say it again. That word is consistency. Putting yourself in a position of leadership means that you have consistently demonstrated enough that you are capable, that you have the birthright to lead. But when we're talking about leading a woman, sometimes you got to put away childish things and stand up for being a man, stand up for the family dynamic, stand up for those things that you believe in, but also be vulnerable enough for her to be able to come to you and weep in your arms, or vulnerable enough for her to be able to say things that you may not necessarily like to hear. But in your consistency of loving her, your consistency of communicating with her, your consistency of showing her day in and day out that she ain't got nothing to worry about. She doesn't have anything to worry about because she knows that her man, her partner, her lover, her husband, or whatever your dynamic is you choose these days. But I'm a traditionalist. I'm a man and I love women, so I'm going to speak from that perspective. And I'm not ashamed of it. But when a man can do that for a woman, yeah, he's demonstrating that he is worthy to lead. I always say, by no means am I a relationship expert, because I did not get it right multiple times. I have not gotten it right. But I will say that I've been in enough relationships to be able to talk about things freely. And I think that's what we need as people, to be able to free ourselves up to talk. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say. But before I get to you in your place of this topic, this conversation, let me do this piece, which I believe is fitting. Some of you may have heard it before. It's called Somebody's Daughter. Somebody's daughter will be there for me to be vulnerable. She will be willing to wipe my tears streaming down my face, and it's acceptable. That she feels my emotions is as not afraid, because she made her presence a safe space, like the coolness of the shade, where my hot temperature can be cooled and never ridiculed. Somebody's daughter is going to want to love me because of who I am, not what I do or my potential, and I am built just for her loving. And she's always giving, giving this feeling of peace just so I can release an abundance of stress I've been carrying around and upon my shoulders, but I keep quiet when making a sound. Somebody's daughter is releasing positive energy, filled with motivated affirmations into my soul's synergy, where our chemistry has this unbridled passion that turns into harmony, symphony, love session. She utters my name in my ear and call me king. Her essence upon my soul, she will sing, as the warmth of her octaves prepare me for her oceanic waves that will wash away my pain and soothe my elemental disdain. She is sort of a big deal, but she has yet to materialize. That's what I need somebody's daughter to look at me with my real eyes and with her real eyes. And that's that piece. Tonight's show is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? I got mine. You got yours. And let's give a shout out to our illustrious CEO, one author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. So again, welcome to Let's Talk About It. Bringing our first artist of the evening, our first caller, who is none other than Epiphany's own one-half host of Erotic Love Zone and one-half host of Poetic Therapy. Ladies and gentlemen, La Pearl La Negra. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Ben. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, good, because I just put the baby on my shoulder, you know, that bottle out, and I can't. Normally, I stick the phone in my bra. He kind of, like, got a foot in my bra, you know.
Hey, comfort spot. It's a comfort spot. It's all right. It's all right.
I think it is. I think it is, because every time I put him on my shoulder, that one foot always winds up in the other side or that hand. So, yeah, I think it is. But I like this topic. I really do.
Well, thank you.
Man, and the piece, yeah, that was decent. That was real decent.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It's one of my older pieces I pulled out the archive, and I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to give life to some of my older pieces because y'all know I write a lot. And sometimes you won't hear a same piece twice. Sometimes you will. Oh, we just lost her. What? Her call just dropped. No. So that's what happens when you got a baby on your shoulder and you're trying to multitask and all that. And, you know, you move to an area and your signal just dropped. I don't know. Whatever happened. But, Danielle, call back. Call back. Call back. So while we're waiting for her to call back, we'll move on to our good brother C-34 Music, y'all. C-34, what's good, bro?
Hey, what's going on? Well, I'm like, I looked at your topic, and I'm like, wow. Wow. Flashbacks and
hey.
All that.
Thank you, good brother.
Yeah.
It's something that we got to talk about, man. You know, it's because honestly, there are a lot of men out here who think that they're worthy to lead, and they're just not.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, if we really break it down to its core, hell, some of them get upset just because you stepped on their Jordans, and you that woman, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She washing your clothes and maybe, just maybe, she didn't wash something the way that you would wash it. Bro, that's not demonstrating that you're worthy to lead if you're getting upset over little things like that. Right?
You touched on that right there. Because as you were talking, and as I was hearing La Pearl La Negra, I was writing a list of things because I've been a follower for so many years. And it's never too late to learn how to lead because if you've never had the manly example, because I can tell you throughout my whole family, you can see the effeminacy in them. And I've had that. I'll admit to it. That's why I've had so many situationships. But I would say in the last, few years, something changed.
Wow. You know, so, C-Double, you've been, I'm interested because I have a follow-up question for you. Just because I know how long, you know, you've been with the missus. So I have a follow-up question you.
Sure.
But first, from your perspective, what can a man do to demonstrate to a woman that he is worthy to lead?
Loaded question, good question, and I'm going to try to answer it to the best of my ability. Got to make sure she's got security. Got to make sure she's got honest. You're honest with her. You got to make sure that both of you are not emotional. Somebody's got to be a critical thinker in this relationship. You can't both be emotional because you're taking away her role.
Right.
In other words, no. Right. In other words, like The Rock says, know your role and shut your mouth.
Absolutely.
You got to show it with, you said consistency, so you got to show it with actions. I mean, you have to be vulnerable. They even admit that you don't have the answer, but you will find out. I mean, you realize that she is your helpmate. You can't do it by yourself, so you got to let that pride go.
That's right.
You have to let that pride go.
Yes, sir.
And lastly, listen to that small voice that keeps talking to you. Don't ignore it. I've ignored it many times, and I've messed up. But when you listen to that still small voice, and you know it's called the Holy Spirit, let that guide you. When you do that, she'll see that you're a leader.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I agree 100%. 100%. You got no argument out of me on your position. The follow-up question for you is, does there come a point for you where you feel like you no longer have to demonstrate that you're worthy to lead because you have your prize, you have your rib, you have your helpmate, and y'all been through and y'all seen the good, the bad, the ugly. Did you ever feel like that you no longer have to demonstrate that you're worthy to lead because she should already know that?
That's right now. That is right now.
Wow.
Because I can give you an example. When we were living in Rochester, New York, that's my hometown, born and raised, always represent. There was a fire in the middle of the night. Somebody set up a garbage can in the hallway on fire.
Oh, wow.
And the smoke was going all the way through. But I woke her up. I said, we got to get up out of here. We got to go. And she was kind of like a hard sleeper. And I'm like, no, get up. Get up out of here. Luckily, the building did not burn down. I mean, we've had times where we ran out of gas down here in Tennessee. And we had to walk 2 miles to a gas station. And I led her. And I said, I asked this policeman. Now, understand, there's still this racial content down here. Understand that. But this white cop helped us put some gas in our car.
Wow.
But the fact is, I was not about to give up on us. If she would have gave up on me, that would have been a bad move by her. But now she sees, after 17 years of doing this, you don't leave me. You don't leave the prize.
That's what's up, bro. That's what's
up.
Man, I love that, brother. You know, because, you know, being married to two different women and for as long as I had my moments, right? I had my moments where I questioned my leadership ability.
Yeah.
I had my moments, right? Usually those moments happen when there's a breakdown in communication. There's a breakdown in the fundamentals of the relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fundamentals, the communication, the honesty, the loyalty, the commitment, the trust. And I felt like pouring my heart out to God, like, God, I was like, am I really an ineffective leader? And you know what God told me?
What?
God told me, yes, you are. Because you stopped doing it my way. You started doing it your way.
Yep. And here's the thing, Poetic. Here's a big thing. You got to be unashamed and unafraid to say no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't. I was a people pleaser. That's why my situationships didn't last, because I put her above God.
Yep.
Her voice. I hearkened to the voice of her instead of listening to God and the way he would do it. So she was always the leader.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. She was always a leader, and I could have been Medea.
Right. Right.
That's the point.
Man, we're getting heavy tonight, y'all. I hope that's all right for you. I hope you're ready when we open up your mic, because we're going there tonight. We're taking off the gloves.
I almost thought you was about to be Future in 8 Mile. I hope you're ready. We at the shelter.
No. Oh, man, I love it. Now, my brother, what piece do you have for us tonight?
I'm hoping this piece fits. So I have this piece here called Did I Find You?
Okay. The mic is yours.
Thank you. I found a $20 bill in a puddle. It could have fell in the gutter, all wrinkled and crumpled. I picked it up knowing, for me, it was worth something. So how much more of a good thing would it be for a woman who truly loved me? He who finds a wife finds a good thing, obtaining favors from the Lord, but he never said to worship you or chase you in order to quench and replenish my thirst. You were placed here for me, but God must be the priority first. This is a lesson I should have learned decades ago. Instead of calling sex love and fornicating with whores, this is not mine, but the Holy Spirit's description to those witches. I had no business having situationships with them. As they left me blinded, silent, possessed, under submission, without wisdom, as my father was witness to my condition of enjoying the sins of forbidden women. I was wrongly chasing them who weren't chaste with my chained mind, having close encounters of the same kind equipped with lust spirits that left me broken and weary, daughters of demons sharing hedonistic beliefs that hid beneath deception from January to December, the kingdom I was meant to be in. I misunderstood the scriptures I was reading. Finding a wife didn't mean being underneath wannabe queens in disguise. Putting them in seats in the skies, believing the seat and the lies, while having them be the divas I idolized. I went back to read between the lines that by doing this continuously, Jesus would despise. Where would I find a woman that was proverbial? Someone who would serve me as she would serve the Lord. Someone who wouldn't shoot down every word I say, only to be adulterous in listening to sermons by the serpent's mouth. Would she recognize me as her king or just a eunuch named Eunice? Sex me up and then throw me away like I was for temporary usage. The old me has passed away, so can you say hello, Newman? To find a wife and a good thing means I'm the one who has to choose you. That's if you're not foolish. That's if you are a true gift. And if that if you don't see this as a problem of me sent by God to be not your ruler, but it's your move, girl. Unless you accept the feminism the government presented you through television, wrecking the family mechanisms, if that's the case, on to the next and to hell with you. Because how can you think like a man unless you have the balls? And what kind of man would I be if I hearkened to your call before God's? In peace.
Man, bro. Man, oh man, oh man. How can you think like a man if you don't have the balls?
I'm sorry. I had to shoot Steve Harvey down. I'm sorry.
Hey. Listen. In order for a woman to think like a man, that means she has to be around a man consistently all the time, every time. And most women come from sometimes from fatherless homes. And then they're left to contend with men that they've already dealt with or male friends who either – you only have two types of male friends, the ones that want to get in your pants and those who are genuine enough to just be there for you and decide they want to get into your friend's pants. But that's a whole other subject.
Or they want to wear the dress. That's why I don't watch The Real or Wendy Williams.
I try to stay away from that one. But you're right. You're right. But there's an education in this piece. And it's definitely, you know, it's definitely right for the show. There was so much you said in there, but the closing lines. Think like a man.
Look, let me tell you something. I have a favorite WNBA player.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Brittany Griner. But mm-hmm. I've always called her Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Okay.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I know. But hey, but listen. I mean, she's a beast on a basketball court. No denying that. None.
Yeah.
I mean, none. And,
she's Juwanna, man. There you go.
Please free Brittany on these charges. I'm just going to put it out to the atmosphere. I follow and I've been watching closely. And it's very, very wrong. I understand the Russian, quote-unquote, law, right? But we all know that there's more to this in terms of political warfare, political power, political pawns. We've seen it throughout history, and this is no different. But
exactly.
My good brother, we're going to get you on over to that VIP lounge and let you grab you a glass of this bubbly that I got imported this time from Iceland. So make sure you grab yourself.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to do when I drink that bubbly. I'm going to turn into Eddie Murphy's father at the barbecue. It's my house.
Lillian, gonna go go, mother.
You missed me.
You missed me.
Oh, one love, one mic to your brother.
One love, one mic. Oh, man. For some of you too young to know that reference, please look at Eddie Murphy's Delirious stand-up comedy. Check it out. Next up on the mic, we have Amelia T. Davis. Welcome, Amelia.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Are you ready to engage on this topic? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes, I am. I think that both of you brought some really good points up about a man leading a relationship, and I have to agree with both of you. And it does have to do with consistency and also communication, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your piece that you did talking about a future female and how she would respond and so on, I think it also says a lot of being a leader, because you do have to have vulnerability. You do have to show a sensitive side as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really very important. I mean, if you're going to have a serious relationship, now, you know, you could have situationships or whatever they're called now, or, you know, sex relationships, but if it's going to be a serious relationship that you're looking to stay together for many years, then, as I've said before, the walls have to come down deep. You have to be able to be approachable as her mate, and that she feels comfortable in crying on your shoulder, and to also be strong enough to allow her to be your helpmate. Because a lot of times men, you know, they want to take on everything, but you've got to allow her to be your helpmate, to listen to her and what arguments she may have on a certain subject, and not just say, well, I'm the man and you've got to do what I tell you and whatever I choose. You have to have that inner strength where you're listening to her and you're paying attention to what she's saying, and then, you know, evaluating the circumstances in a reasonable way. Because sometimes I saw this on Facebook today, something about men have issues at times listening to their females, and they will stand up for their friends, their male friends. You know, I've known him since childhood, and he's been around before you, and he'll be around after you, and I don't care what you have to say. And lo and behold, he's the first one to stab you in the back. And she tried to tell you, watch out for him, but you were too stubborn. You didn't want to hear what your helpmate had to say. And there you are with a knife in your back from your buddy that you stood up for with her and said, oh, no, he's my buddy. And now you got a knife in your back. So what I'm saying is there has to come that strength from within a male to also listen, observe, and decide on factors that she brings to you So it has to be that give and take and that partnership. So
absolutely.
But I agree with both of you 100%.
Absolutely. And the kind of man that you're talking about in terms of the one that wants to dictate, I'm the man, you need to listen to me. Hey, man, listen. Listen, ladies. Ladies, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. If you have a man like that in your life, you need to walk away from that. I don't care if you love him or not. But that is a controlling nature. That is a control thing. Because God is pretty clear about men humbling themselves, and men also have to be submissive. And those kind of words are not submissive words in a man submitting to God. That's a man that's outright telling you that I'm in control. I'm the man, and you need to do what I say. So, you know, I'm not telling you to break up your happy home, but seek counseling first if that is an issue. Hopefully he'll want to go through that and you know, prayer as well. But very rarely have I seen that kind of man change his stripes or, you know, whatever. But awesome, Amelia. I appreciate your commentary. Very, very well said, well spoken. Now that we got that out of the way, what piece did you bring for tonight?
Well, you know, you brought an older piece, and I decided I'd do an older piece, too. This actually dates all the way back to 2014, and it's called Chocolate Angel.
The mic is yours.
He holds my hand when I'm scared. He believes in me when I doubt myself. He talks to me when I'm the loneliness. He has begun to hold the mirror up so I would see what he does. He never been one to be, excuse me, I've never been one to be arrogant or admire my reflection. Yet he sees past the image. He looks inside, deep inside of who I really am. Amazing, because so many just stop at the image. He hears my heart beating. He is my happiness. He is the rhythm of my breathing. He takes me to places only the soul can achieve. An angel in disguise, keeping me going in my deepest despair. It is his smile that I reflect upon as I fly to the sky. That is where we meet, up above the clouds, high above life's obstacles. We dance to love songs of the night, our souls intertwined as the song's melody plays. My chocolate angel to save the night. Musings of Amelia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen, and peace.
Beautiful piece, Amelia. Very exquisite. Chocolate Angel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this piece. It's very, it's a vulnerable piece. Very interesting, very dynamic. Especially the part where you talk about we will meet in the clouds. I like that. Very nice piece.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was done back in 2014, so quite a long time ago.
Some time ago. That's all right. It's still relevant. It still sounds like it's fresh ink, but, you know, it's new to some people that haven't heard it.
Exactly, and I thought it kind of fit the. There you have it. So one
Thank
love,
you so
one
much.
Mic.
One love, one mic. Go grab you a glass of that Icelandic Bubbly, and stick around and enjoy the rest of the show, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is Amelia T. Davis on her way to the dance floor. Not the dance floor, but the VIP lounge. Got me thinking about my show from Thursday to Get Down. All right, let's see if we can get Danielle back. La Perla Negra, are you back?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Welcome back. A lot is happening.
Thanks.
Has happened since you left us, but welcome back.
I'm sure.
So tell me.
Phone service is crazy. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's all right. What can a man do to demonstrate to a woman that he is worthy to lead?
Ooh, well, this plays in with what you were talking about in the beginning of the show about consistency. First and foremost, keeping his word. Because regardless if things go awry afterwards, as long as he does what he says he's going to do, he actually creates a safe enough space for her to feel secure enough to be vulnerable and allow him to lead her. Safest place in the world for a woman is in the arms of a man that keeps his word. And two, never, ever make her feel like she's in competition. She doesn't want to have to fight for his love.
La Perla Negra. Can we talk about your point number two? Make her not feel like she's in competition.
Right. And I'm going to tell you why I said that, but go ahead.
Okay. You know, that's a duality, right? Because a man doesn't want to feel like that he's in competition either, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it pertains to the demonstration of lead of the demonstration of being worthy to lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Competition is going to be there on both ends. Now, you said something. You said not make her feel.
Mm-hmm.
Not make her feel.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling part, right? Because that looks different. That looks different to different people. And for I'm only speaking from a male's point of view. I have no idea what that means from a female point of view. I've been told, but I'm not a female. So for our male populace of the Let's Talk About It family, can you talk about that feel part? Because somebody's not getting it, and I want to make sure that they get it. So can you please elaborate?
I sure can. Okay. Now, you've heard me say this 100 times, if not more, how my marriage was very, very toxic because my husband was misogynistic. He was a big on womanizing, and he was the epitome of narcissist.
Okay.
When I say don't make your woman feel like she's in competition, I'm talking about comparing her constantly to other women and saying this to her, okay? Like, I cooked all the time for my husband. He loved to cook. As a matter of fact, he taught me a lot of things in the kitchen, but he never had to ask me to make him a meal. It was just something that I did because that's just how I felt that was my part to play. But anyway, I would make sandwiches a particular kind of way. And I believed in loading my sandwiches up for my man. Okay. He was a very, very big man. And he loved to eat. Okay. So the way I would make my sandwiches, I would put the vegetables on it, lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, the onions, whatever spread he liked with that particular meat or that sandwich. It could be mustard, mayonnaise, whatever. But I would use a lot of meat. Not overdo it, but I would use a lot of meat. Something like they would put if you were go to a deli. Okay.
Okay.
And he would say to me, I don't like all that meat like that. Don't load my sandwich up like that. So I'm like, all right, fine. I won't do it like that anymore. How do you want me to make your sandwich? And he showed me, and I would start making it that way. And it wasn't a problem until he started working at a particular place. And then he would come home and say his coworker, Tracy, started bringing him lunch. And she just make these wonderful sandwiches with all this meat on it like I like. And I'm looking at him like, that's what I'm talking about, something like that, okay?
Let me throw this caveat in there real quick, this little nugget.
Mm-hmm.
You said your husband would compare you to other women.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, if your man is truly in love with you, there is no other woman comparison.
Absolutely. It was more about possession and obsession.
Still not love, but yeah,
right.
The sandwich thing rubs me the wrong way. Now, I'll tell you about that in a second. Some of y'all already know because I said it multiple times. But the comparison thing, an effective leader knows how to handle a situation differently without bringing a third party competitionalist into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no. But the sandwich, I'll take a corned beef on white, hot with provolone cheese, lettuce, extra mayonnaise, and I'm good. Thanks. All right. Appreciate you. But
it wasn't just that. That was one example. It was a constant thing.
Yeah.
Like with his cousin's house, he would come back from his cousin's house. He was best friends with her husband. And he would come back in. I have my table setting a particular way because it's my house, my shit. And I want it to look a certain way. And he would say, well, you know, they got their table setting this way and that and that and this. So, that's not my house. But this is what he constantly did. It doesn't matter who he was around or where he went. He always came back in and wanted me to do what they were doing, the other woman was doing, all the time. And it made me feel like I'm competing all the time.
Wow.
Dude.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I tried it. I didn't argue with him at first. I tried it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was very submissive. I agreed with him with a lot of things, and people need to understand that word means to agree, not to bow down and walk behind, okay? Not that kind of submissive, okay?
I mean, if you're into that kinky stuff, you know, submissive and dumbs, I mean, we could talk about that. But no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I don't want no kink in my marriage. That was a big problem, too. But always such and such has done it this way. Why don't you try it this way? All the time.
I understand.
It was never enough. Okay?
I understand.
So that's
Sorry,
what I mean by
that.
Making her feel like she is in competition with another woman all the time. That
all right,
such
man,
a
you got it.
It causes an internal fight with the woman for herself.
Absolutely.
It's like, what the hell am I not doing? You know, what's wrong with me?
Men, y'all got it? Men, do y'all have it? Did y'all take notes? Did you write it down? Did you lock it in? Whatever you do, did you put it in your phone? Did you put it in your device? You got it? Okay. All right. La Perla La Negra, thank you for being transparent, as always. What piece did you bring for us?
This is an old piece I wrote a while ago. Now my tablet is acting up. I don't know what's wrong with my electronics tonight. They just acting up. Oh, give me one second. All right, I got it. Somebody is working against me. Okay. This is called
Mike is
my Thank you. This is called My Hidden Away. If my eyes could show my soul, your hearts would cry when you see me smile. Sometimes we miss the chance to run through our happy light because we get lost in the shadow of why they hurt us. So I'd stop wondering how I was seen in the eyes of others because I know who I am. But when I'd fallen in love and realized that he couldn't see me, hope's curiosity awakened questions like, what part of my beautiful heart would he want to know? Should I even expose my soul light to him? Ooh, hidden desire is so unfair because he moves something so deep within me that I don't know if it's the way he speaks, his beautiful mind, or just his existence that has mastered my heart, but he's definitely my muse. Maybe I'll just continue to keep etchings of the perfect relationship hidden on the canvas of my mind because it is my secret deep after all. And it wasn't my intentions to fall. I didn't plan on being in love. I just wasn't looking. But keeping my truth hidden away is slowly but surely becoming a dwindling thought process. Like the last of winter's leaves clenching to black branches, knowing it's becoming the past. Yet I embrace the organics of it and bring myself to stillness, witnessing the natural blending of colors in nature emerge, because everything I've touched with tenderness has pricked like thorns under the beautiful rose on its stem. Alas, though everything in life has to do with our heart, the path we're taking lies in the tangled forest between heart, mind, ego, and soul. Yet, hope drowned in darkness continues emergence from the nighttime bright as fireflies. And change is an inevitable season, but a constant. But whether I reveal my love to him or not, just as in silence alone, I feel my heart and continue to marvel at the miracle. This is sacred, so I will always care. And that's that piece.
Wow. Another beautiful piece. You said something. You said I didn't mean to fall in love. I wasn't looking for it.
I just wasn't looking, yeah.
That's,
and they say that's the way it happens. when you stop looking
if you stop looking for it, it happens, right? Wow. I love that line. This piece was beautiful. I really enjoyed the transparency of the piece as well. You on a road tonight. You just letting it all out. You know, I love it.
I try. Thank you.
hey. excuse me, y'all. Y'all not gonna get on my nerves tonight. You're not gonna do it. You're not gonna do it. I will release her to you as soon as we are done. Not before. You get me? All right. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you. You hear your entourage in the back there. They're being them usual selves. So, before I let you go to the VIP lounge to your men folk that's eagerly awaiting your arrival, can you please let everybody know what you got going on Epiphany Radio?
I sure can. All right, ladies and gentlemen, alternating Saturday nights with Poetic. I am one half host of Poetic Therapy, where I co-host with Rob, the djembe poet, Morrow. And that's a place where you can relieve some mental stress through some open mic poetry and some healthy conversation. Every Wednesday night at 9, I am one half host of the Erotic Love Zone, where I co-host with my sexy, sultry-voiced diva, Ms. VIP. Now, we're playing with the topic, okay? But y'all know how we like to tease y'all. So y'all come on by Wednesday night and get caught up in the Erotic Love Zone, because I know you're going to love it. Back to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard where you can catch her. And that Wednesday night show, my goodness, my goodness. Oh, my God. It get hotter and
hotter. Y'all brought it.
All right. On her way over to the VIP lounge, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Pearl, La Negra. Take your socks off, baby, baby. One love, one mic. And keep them boys settled down, please. I don't know what kind of mood they and the energy that they're deriving from tonight, but I know it's only because you're not there yet. Please go calm them down for me. I appreciate it.
I got you. One love, one mic. Here I come,
fellas. One love, one mic. There it is. Whew. There it is.
Man, I came home from work. All I wanted was a beer and see someone twerk. It's Friday, and I'm ready to turn up. Single and no dates lined up. Gotta get in them streets, see what's popping. Can't let nothing stop me. Wait, hold up. It's time for Let's Talk About It. The radio show on Epiphany? Let's get it. Time to take my socks off and get comfy and do date night differently. Tonight's topic? You just have to tune in and see, because there won't be no debate. Now tell me, can anyone relate?
You are listening to Epiphany Radio, For Real Entertainment Network. I am Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. Take your socks off.
Listening online, the dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and by all means, press 1 when you get here. If you're already here, you desire to join in on this dynamic discussion we're having, please press 1. Next up on the mic, we got my favorite. Hey, Jamie, how you doing?
Hi, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Glad to see you here.
Yeah.
How you been? You been doing okay?
Yeah, I've been okay. No complaints. So, they say luck favors the prepared. So I've been preparing for. So I'm okay. Like I don't need nothing. I'm good. You know. So I'm grateful for that, being able to see ahead and plan ahead and, you know, be able to just take
Absolutely.
A break when I need to and ain't got to worry about, you know what I'm saying, and still be able to get
Absolutely.
What I want. So my wants and needs are met. I'm more than grateful. So I'm okay.
Okay now. Y'all hear that? She said her wants and her needs. I know that's right. I know that's right. But listen, I'm glad you're here because I'd love to hear your position on what can a man do to demonstrate to a woman that he is worthy to lead. Let's talk about it.
Okay. I actually made a list because I was like, I didn't want to forget nothing. And hopefully I didn't leave anything off. Most of what I've written down has already been said, but I guess there's nothing wrong with a little reiteration. Before I start this list, I just want to give a disclaimer. I do understand that everybody's definition or interpretation of what a good leader is varies from person to person or situation to situation. So I get that this don't work for everybody, but this is what I feel like a good, for me, you know, for how I am and how I'm, you know, my morals and my goals, how this would work for me. I would say, like, first up, he definitely would need to be mature, having, like, a sense of maturity financially and mentally, obviously, because your mind, you know, the headquarters is messed up and the rest of the body follows, you know what I'm saying?
So I just
want to be like, I need some mentally mature. Just transparency was I've mentioned before, and I agree. Like, I need somebody that's willing to be able to admit their mistakes or just give me the play-by-play of what they feel the process is. Just keep me in the loop is what I'm saying. Don't hide nothing from me, and then we look up and we face some bankruptcy because you didn't want to tell me that you know, Mr. Just talk to me, let me know what's going on. And that just falls under the umbrella of being honest as well. Just include me in the decision. Don't make it feel like, you know, like you said, when I say go, just follow. I'm not blindly following nobody into, hell no, no. I work too hard to maintain my independence to let somebody just try to take the reins of my life and just nose dive my life into, no, hell no. You will be a memory before you are a problem. I'm just saying. Consistency, definitely, because, you know, sometimes the things don't work out the first time or they work for a little bit, so you just always have to kind of regroup and try again. So you would need, you know, to be consistent. And with that being said, you would need somebody behind you to keep pushing you and encouraging you to try again or to try something different and put our heads together and that kind of thing. And with that being said as well, it definitely needs somebody with some sense of humility. I don't need the arrogant pride because, like I said, sometimes people need help. Sometimes you need to borrow a little bit to get through it. You know what I'm saying? Make a profit. And not also not too arrogant to realize that they may need, like, a mentor or, like, a spiritual guide, you know, or whatever to kind of help them when they – because I know that it's heavy. Leadership is heavy. A lot of people think, oh,
man,
I just like to be in charge. Need somebody to kind of pour into you and somebody you can kind of just be transparent with. You know, somebody that's been there, done that. So some kind of mentorship, be it spiritual or whatever your bag is, I need to know you talking to somebody with some sense, even if you feel like
right.
You can't talk to me because it's a man thing or whatever. I'm okay with that. Just talk to somebody. My whole thing is.
Right.
Somebody that's just willing to protect, be it the family, the house, or, you know, whatever our goals or plans is, just protect it. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't got to put our business out there. I don't like people knowing what I'm doing all the time because that just kind of gives them the insight to kind of infiltrate or just kind of get things, you know, before we even get settled and started good. Just protect it. Just cover me, cover the family, you know, whatever we got going on. Just let our business be our business. Let them assume or whatever. With that being said, communication and comprehension, those are two different things. People think it's one and the same. Those are two separate things. I need you to talk to me, and most importantly, I need you to understand what I'm saying. I want to make sure I understand what you're saying so that we're on the same page at all times. La Perla Negra mentioned this, reassurance, definitely. Show me while you tell me. Tell me while you show me. So I'm constantly aware that you're aware of what the plan is and that you're still sticking to it, or if something's changed, or I need to make some adjustments, you need to make some. Just talk to me. Just give me that reassurance that, okay, this is still the goal. Obviously, it goes without saying, loyalty, you know, to me, our family, whatever the cause is, just be loyal. Like you said, don't make me feel like I'm in competition with somebody else or have these people thinking they got a shot with you. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to be nice and friendly, but don't be flirty or too flirty or whatever, because it kind of leads, and that goes under the umbrella of being considerate. That's naturally, like, don't do nothing you don't want me doing to you. That's all I'm saying. don't be whining to me about hurt feelings when you didn't hurt mine, because I'm petty. I hit below the belt when I feel threatened. Like, don't put either one of us in that situation. I feel like it has to be somebody who's also okay with taking, like, critiques and praises as well, not just one without the other, because they kind of go hand in hand. Like, I would want somebody to let me know when I'm slipping or whatever. So I feel like if the person is able to be, like, to be able to just take it and, you know, in stride and just like, all right, you're right, let me get back on the ball. Okay, I can deal with that. Not somebody that's going to blow up at me because I'm letting them know that they're slipping or they doing something or done something that they should have, shouldn't have. And if somebody's, like, able to incorporate the wants and the needs, that's a bonus. And with that, I guess that comes along the line of, like, compromising, which is, I think is the basis of any kind of relationship. Because if we're both able to get what we want and what we need, that's pretty much my list. I think I covered everything.
Yeah. I mean, baby, you might need to post that list on the event page, because that's a tall order. I mean, look, you got me over here with my hands, my head talking. Oh my goodness, what in the world? What kind of what? I'm like, wait a minute. Let me humble myself and say, yo, I need a spiritual mentor to be able to handle this list. No, but I can dig it. You made a lot of valid points in your list. And it's your list, right? This is what you need. This is what you want. This is what a man can do to demonstrate to you. Now, I'm going to assume that ain't nobody measured up to that list yet, but, you know, they're out there. I mean, we're out there, but, you know, it's just a...
Yeah, that's what it could be.
It could be overwhelming, but when you talk about, I'm going to tell you something, that financial component that she talked about, that's serious, y'all. Because the last thing you want is a man going to go ahead and buying a car, and y'all got a mortgage, and y'all ain't discussed this thing, you already got a car, or you got two cars, and he just say, well, baby, you know, I just figured since we was together, we was good, because now you got to help pay more of the bills because you want this car? Oh, nah, no, sir.
Right.
No, sir.
That's why I'm like, if you want something, just let me know. We can start a different kind of savings. You know, feed it every, you know what I'm saying? At the time, but then, you know, because sometimes what I've discovered is like stuff we kind of, with like an impulse kind of thing, be like months later, like if you haven't gotten it, you'd be like, why did I even want that in the first place? So I've had to kind of apply this to my own self with my impulse buys, and I'd be like, ooh, I want that. And I'm just like, you know what, let me wait a couple weeks to just see if I would still want that. And then, you know, wait a couple more weeks, and I'm just like, nah, I really don't need it. I just want it because, you know, it's just something shiny. And I'm just like, I know me, I'm going to be away with it. I'll be giving it away in a couple months. So I'm just like, it's not a, let me put this money in my savings instead. Just buying something I don't really need right now. So I had to practice, you know, financial maturity and responsibility myself, and I've been putting it into practice over the last couple of years.
Because, ladies, y'all can't come in the house with six new pairs of shoes and we ain't talked about this thing. Okay. Oh, well, baby, I just put it on my credit card. Well, that credit card bill got to be paid at some point, honey. Yeah. No, but I dig it. Dig it. Well, thank you for being transparent and sharing your list with us. I really appreciate that. Now, what piece did you bring?
You're welcome. Oh, this is actually brand new. I think it's finished, but I think I'm gonna add some more later. But for the most part, I think it's finished. This is brand new. Nobody's heard this one yet. So, yeah, I don't have
okay,
a title
okay.
for
you.
Fresh ink.
Okay. Love it. But the mic is yours.
Your parade keeps me entertained and distracted as you disguise monstrous traits in various ways. As I'm soaking up your toxic ways for days, false accusations and claims start a downpour of name-calling, line-crossing, and high emotions. Reasoning with you is like trying to swim across the ocean, and your shark-like instincts, they sniff out my vulnerability while you're flashing your teeth and calling me a treat because I'm your latest feast, and you can't wait for me to bleed so you can feed, because you know how to haunt me. attacking me ever so bluntly, making waves so overwhelming to keep me between a rock and a hard place, while verbally slapping me in the face, and I react in a haste, wondering if it's blood that I taste, or the reality of how much time I waste. But I can't yet evade you, because my insecurities crave you, and I'm just dying to hear how you disapprove, or simultaneously making me your fool as you're begging me not to leave, and I'm in total disbelief, because is this all that we could achieve? See, my self-esteem is scattered like leaves blowing in the wind, like your words that blow past me, making my eyes water again and again, and my shortened breaths extend because I despise you, or you're going out of your way to disguise you. And so I shrink, and I rewire the way that I think, to adjust to your perception while ignoring your misdirections, while you cut me and rub salt in my wounds. I want to chisel out your tomb while you're dancing around the saloon, while I'm watching you get high like noon. And I'm just praying that it'll be over soon, because those cold cans of liquid courage and those warm shots of justification, they send your filter and consideration on vacation. And since there's no arbitration, you hold no bars when it's time to point out my scars, imperfections, and quirks. You insensitive, condescending jerk. See, I knew this wouldn't work, because those intoxicated kisses and strokes eventually leave my sober heart broke. Why did you put my virtue in danger when we could have stayed strangers? Instead, you just transferred your anger, twisted my perception like wire hangers, and I'm stressed, depressed, and compressed, too tired to cry and too embarrassed to leave. And so I find myself outside or in between of what seems like the more you seek, the more I hide. See, we tried, but we collide. And the heat in this house, it has surpassed bliss. The stove is hot and I'm gaslit, because when we fight, you gaslight, and I'm filled with disgust and ready to combust, while I'm simultaneously looking for reasons to stay and leave us. Because this is not enough, and yet I've had enough of feeling obtuse from the abuse, while I'm running in circles playing duck, duck, goose. See, I feel like you don't want me, but you keep me around just to taunt me, because it's easier for you to criticize than compliment, as you put me in positions to be played like an instrument, and I'm slowly losing my sanity in increments. Like, I'm just looking for ways to end this in peace.
Yo. Let me be the first to say that, baby, this piece is finished. Okay? It's finished.
All right?
You said a whole lot in this piece that I absolutely loved. The run of where you talked about danger. We could have stayed strangers. That was,
yeah, why did you put my virtue in danger,
man.
When we could have stayed strangers?
Yes. I was over here like, yeah, like, go in, poet, go in. But then you said, before that, you said that my insecurities crave you.
Crave you, yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, this was dope.
That's essentially like a nod to, you know, how people-pleasing kind of gets you, get too caught up in that.
Yeah.
You're just like, okay, I'm sorry. What can I do to make it better? But you're constantly telling me I'm garbage. But I still want to make you feel good, even though I feel like shit. So what can I do? Oh, I'm so insecure.
Oh,
it's kind of like a nod to that.
That's what's up. This is a dope piece. It can stay untitled. I'm cool with that, you know. It's cool as an untitled piece, you know. It feels like a poetic release of what you will no longer accept. And it's an amazing piece of art. So thank you for bringing it.
Thank you.
All right, now I'm gonna send you one over to that VIP lounge that gets you a glass of bubbly, so that you can stick around and enjoy the rest of the show. Okay.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is my favorite, Jamie the Artiste, One Love, One Mic. Wow, she came through here and slayed with that piece, y'all. Oh, my God. Whew, man. We're going to keep this party going. Next up on the mic, man, We've got Mr. Tuesday Night, a.k.a. Iron Man, Epiphany's own Mojave. What's good? What you have?
What's happening?
What's happening, brother?
How
you
trying
feel,
to get
man?
I'm actually good. I just had some crab. I was like, you know, when you're like, okay.
If you only knew. I'm mad at you right now for saying that. I literally call the place that I get crabs from. I've been calling them for every week for almost a month straight for them to tell me that they don't have them. And I called them today about 4 o'clock. She said, we just ran out. Bruh.
Man, that's terrible.
If you could see my face, oh, my God. Because I wanted to take the swimming pool. But she told me I can call back on Monday. They might have something by Wednesday. So I'm like, hey, noted. But,
I had it on my mind, and I was like, let me go over here and grab this real quick, as quick as possible. That would be the dopest thing that ever happened, if I could just go and grab it. And grab I did. I grabbed a whole bunch of stuff. I even got some mud crab. Because, you know, when you go to the supermarket, they got everything. When I'm talking about everything. So, you know, I got some boots, all kinds of crazy.
Say it again.
I ran through mad quick because I was running out of ramen. So I was like, I need that ramen. So I was like, ramen, seafood, crab.
Yeah. That's what's up. Well, brother, I'm still envious, but I gotta keep the format going. I'm thinking about the fresh. But tonight, bro. What can a man do to demonstrate to a woman that he is worthy to lead? Let's talk about it.
Nothing.
I was waiting for it. I had that in my mind, too. But go ahead, bro.
I'm never going to give a traditional answer. Because everybody wants to give a traditional answer. No, there's nothing that a man could do. The reason why, because if he's naturally exhibiting, he doesn't have to.
I need you to say it slower. For the people who missed it, and a little louder, please.
Okay. Nothing, because he does not have to, because if he has these qualities, they naturally show up. He doesn't have to prove something that he demonstrates. He leads by example. And because he leads by example, it's not a question. It's an adjustment. It's a way of coming to terms or communicating and building together. Like,
yes.
Most of the time,
yes.
when we think about it, like if somebody's trying to tell you something, you never believe them in the first place. So, you know, when you have disbelief, you're not going to give it, you're not going to weigh it evenly. You're not going to weigh it fairly. You're always going to put that person, you know, in a deficit as opposed to, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt. And so a lot of times, that deficit comes from people experiencing, having bad experiences with people, having bad experiences where the person, I was on some of my on Friday, and Sandra Tanika Melvin, who I had on last week, brilliant artist and poet, when we were doing this whole thing, our writing thing, she said, stop letting people happen to you and be the type of person that happens to people. You know,
wow.
And I took that in the sense of a lot of times people happen to us and it affects our judgment or the way we cause the things that we do because of how people happen to us. And so it allows us to start putting people in deficit because we're still carrying around the luggage from that negative emotion and relationship that we happen to be in. And so when that happens, the person who's trying and has to tell you, you know, you're not believing them. So there's nothing really that can do to change your mind unless they demonstrate by example. because the only thing that actually changes something is people can see the behavior. If they can see the actions and the behavior, not just in the words, then they can believe. So it has to be action-based, actionable emotions that people can feel in order for them to believe off the top. You know, and then there's this missing thing, connection. That's one of the most important things, because when you're connected to somebody, you're easier to transmit good tidings and things, and then values are instantly communicated when you're connected to someone.
That's dope, bro.
You know,
I was saying that this was the quintessential answer that I was looking for this evening, and I was hoping that I got it. You are absolutely correct. If a man has these qualities, he has these things already in him, he shouldn't have to demonstrate anything to a woman because his actions are doing that by itself. And you pulled it out, bro. You pulled it out, and you nailed it. And that's exactly, you know, I don't know if you were here at the top of the show when I was talking about how I felt within myself that I was an inadequate leader. And I had to talk to God about it on several occasions because of the failures and the breakdowns that occurred under my leadership watch. Right? And, man, you definitely nailed it, bro. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, Javi come through nailing it. That's what he does. That's what he does. And you're right. This is a non-traditional answer because I out of the five or six callers that we've had so far, I have yet to hear this particular answer. So thank you, bro. Appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate it coming through. But, I mean, like, what I'm learning now, as opposed to what I learned then, connection is nothing to see that. But when you're trying to lead something, if a person's unwilling to listen to you, no matter what you tell them, no matter how many times you tell them, right? It's because they operate in disbelief. There's a lack, you know, and most things can function when there's a belief in that particular person to move forward. Like, you know, literally, you know, some people are just dedicated to doing something their way because literally they believe whatever you tell them is somehow taking them down or putting them into a situation or making them submissive. And people don't understand that submission is not the idea of, oh, you know, you do what I say or you do what I want you to do when I tell you to do it. I heard what you call say earlier thing, Amelia, you know, I'm the man
Amelia,
you gotta listen to.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, I'm the man you gotta listen to me.
Yeah, I'm the man. No. You got to listen to me. Yeah, no, no.
Yeah,
that's not right.
That's one of the most craziest things. That's what narcissists say. All you got to listen to me is what? No. How about I trust you enough to hear what you're saying and believe that what you're telling me is right and will work? There's a major difference between someone saying that or anything else and someone having enough because part of connection is trust. Part of connection is communication. Part of connection is building a culture that you both imbibe upon. And so what I've learned literally in a year, the connections that you build or that you want to build or you're going to build have to be based in the idea of communication, being able to create culture between you and ultimately trust in order for it to work. And if there's something that, you know, you can't tell me, it's real funny. It's like when Jill Scott says, you know, if you can tell me what to do, then you can tell me what to do.
Right.
You know, and in that sense, when she's saying that, she goes, if you can lead me, then you can lead me. Then you can tell me something. But even in telling someone something, the idea is not telling them for your own selfish needs. It's telling them for the benefit of themselves or the benefit of your relationship in order to move forward.
Right.
And I think that's where we as men sometimes get shit wrong because we think that, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you what I want to tell you. This is what it is, man. No, that's not how you lead. Leading is always done. You know, you don't even have to lead from the front. You could lead from the back, as long as you know exactly the direction that you're traveling. You don't always have to sit, you know. You don't always have to sit at the forefront. You can sit in the back or sit in a co-chair and be able to move together. Because, you know, a lot of times I heard Jamie say people need to be coached. A lot of us need to be coached. We need coaching. We don't have tangible examples, you know, and we don't have men that come through. So sometimes, like, it's very hard to be in an environment where the nature of certain things is negative emotions and built upon conquering and doing all this stuff, which comes from a white patriarchal ideology that works and operates accurately in some black men's mind because of the culture that we're, the work culture and the nature and the nurture of the certain things that are around us, from our music to everything else that goes on, is teaching us to not uphold or push forward or keep our women at the forefront. When truly, when we love and protect our women, we only gain and benefit in every sense of the word. We do better. We do more. We get more. And part of it, we talk about our manhood, but our manhood is based on familyhood. And that's the other thing that we get wrong, too. Like, we get, like, it's okay to get things wrong, you know?
Right.
But, you know, like, I myself, you yourself, like, some of our strongest parts of our character, who we are, is because of how we love the children we made, how we push ourselves through impossible circumstances to make sure that the children we made are loved in every sense of the word, and to teach them what love looks like. And most people wouldn't agree for that because some people get upset because they feel like, oh, you should have these type of things. So I was like, where does that come from? What's the root of that? How did we get to the point where we're not being this person? We're trying to be strong and silent and everything else. But truly, our ability to be transparent and express our emotions is the true strength that we have, because it's our strength rooted in our spirit and our character, and makes us better for who we are. And then when we find someone similar, that connection, not as being halves, but being two wholes that come together, create something utterly, a space which builds things. You know, the one thing that killed me, I'm sure I'm going to find, is that the thing that balances out ghettos and bad neighborhoods is stable families. And if you put four stable families on a ghetto block, that block will begin to change, especially if they own their property. Because
that's
those
true.
Things, and they exist as examples. Like, known facts, not known to the general public. It's like, hey, you want to straighten up this? Let people buy where they live at and everything else. Now, the funny thing is, we talk about gentrification, what's happening. We're getting moved out of those neighborhoods. White families coming in, stabilizing all this stuff, and changing the whole thing, building all these different things to things that they need. Meanwhile, we suffered under all these different things, food deserts, bad things, all this other shit that was going on, and being told that we have that because the system makes us want to separate from ourselves, because those two things come together is a powerful thing. And if you can keep people off their feet, that's what I'm saying, you keep people, men in particular, you keep us from being able to express ourselves. Man, I watched some man in Atlanta shot two women, killed one of them because he had too much mayonnaise on his sandwich.
I saw that, and I said,
what was in his head? What kind of lack is running around in his frame to make him be that way? You know, and so
a lot of it going on. Yeah, but we could talk about this forever. But we got to move on. But I need to know, what piece did you bring for us tonight?
All right. So I was looking at this from two different perspectives. I was looking at it from a heartbreak perspective. You know, it's not King Drizzy. I'm going to do this heartbreak thing. I'm going to run through and do this heartbreak hotel. But I got a whole bunch of heartbreak pieces. I started to tell. You know, somebody told me the message. Somebody told me the message that I should, you know, take certain pieces. And they had cold pieces. So I was like, okay, well, I think I should take this whole heartbreak thing. Because, you know, I do, like, I'm really examining what I should be doing, but I wrote something that was more akin to something about something I wish for, and it doesn't have music, it's just me writing, and just, you know, sometimes you put things out into the universe. So if it sounds like I'm talking to somebody, yeah, I'm talking to the mirror reflection of what happens to be me. That's the other thing that we talk about, the mirror thing of yourself, the mirror of yourself, so what you want and how you want it. So I'll read that piece.
Cool. All right. The mic is yours.
All right. Baby, you're so fine. I love you. You're important, and I cherish you. I try to make sure that you know that I am consistent, that I want you for your character, your sweet spirit, your caring heart, the way you speak life to me. How unafraid you are to tell me while waiting to show me how much you truly love me. How you're open to me leading you while I listen intently to your heart. I want to heal with you. Watch your emotional scars become triumph stories. See you glow with beauty. Watch your spirit grow. Be able to hold you, love you, give you all that you need. Treasure your soul as I treasure you. And you understand of how much that I love you too. You are all that I dreamed of, all that I waited for, all that I needed. This moment, for moment, moves on to power in our lifetimes. Please be with me. I want you. And that's peace.
Dang, Javi just pulled your heart out on the table, man, with that piece.
I
love this piece. Yeah. I love this piece, man. You know, these are my type of pieces. You know, because sometimes I feel like from your pain and from, you know, some of the heartbreak that you go through, it produces some of the greatest art that you'll ever write. Be as though it is painful, but it's very beautiful at the same time, and this piece is no different. Your cadence was a little different on this piece. Your octaves were down a little. You really dug in with the recital of this piece, and I dig it. Great job, my brother.
I'm trying to change my voice. I'm trying to develop multiple voices to call from, you know, so that everything else has been going on. So I've been like really fooling around with different cadences, different way of reading and things of that sort.
All right. It worked. Now, my brother, before I let you go get some of this Iceland paint, okay, let everybody know what you got going on Tuesday and the rest of the week.
You know what's going on for the rest of the week. Stop, man, if you don't stop playing with me, you know what we're about to do. We're about to invade Philadelphia, City of Brotherly Love, Midsummer Night's Dream. You know, we're about to run up in there, run out with the buns out, because, you know, we don't run out with the guns out. That's a negative term. But run out with the buns out. Whole asses out. To do some incredibly dope poetry. We're going to be over there in the Embassy Suites, Philadelphia Airport. Friday, we're going to be at Don't Be Around the Bush. Brilliant, you know, beautiful, dope Wordplay Fridays, hosted by Mr. Slick Talk himself, Slick, the Hitman. We're going to have some game nights. We're going to do some things. Matter of fact, official tissues, you know, the open air photo booth will be in the house. Everything is completed on that end, and we'll be able to have all the pictures available for people. Although it's going to be super dope because you'll be able to do things. But I warn people, if you don't pay for it, you're going to pay for it there. And it's going to be substantially more. Don't be mad at me. I told people. Anyway, don't be mad at me. But we're going to be there. Epiphany Radio is going to be in the house. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
All of us together. I do everything for energy, and the energy for this is going to be stupendously stupid. And I'm overexcited beyond be excited, because I just know what's going to happen when you pull it together. That's the mission. That's the vision. That's the place. Like, even if you didn't think anything, listen, look, number one, you ain't been in a room with me, Van, J-Rob, Danielle, for real. Listen, Paul Sampson's even going to be there. Listen, it's crazy. It's going to be pure, absolute nuttiness, because we don't care. You understand? And then, you know, it's going to be the drippers are going to be in the house. Tiffany, Exchange, Lisa Lips, Dawood for War Council. Listen, y'all are saying, it's just too much. It's too much. I don't even want to play music just while they're at. Listen. What?
Bro, you jump right to Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Man, can you tell them about Tuesday?
Oh, yeah. We're doing Foxy. Foxy open mic. You know Foxy. I'm sorry. We're doing Foxy. I'm just sorry. We're doing Foxy. You know, and we got some incredible people on Foxy, too. It's not even funny. We got Felicia Williams. Like, we got nutty stuff going on Foxy. Well, we're going to talk about Philly, but Foxy is going to be super fly because we got, like, I'm bringing in different poets. Like, understand what Foxy is here for. It's the hidden radio show to expose poets that you may not know, may have encountered, but didn't get a really good chance. So we're going to talk to them, figure out where they come from, what they do, how they do it, and how you can stay in contact with them. And then we're going to hear some hellified poetry. And it's going to be flying. It's open mic, so you can participate. Come on through. Here, let's see the radio universe. Come on. Take your socks off. I'm going to tell you. Take your socks off.
Y'all hear him, right? Y'all hear him. It's just a lot going on. It's a lot going on.
Listen. All I'm telling you, man, you already know. I don't mix words about stuff that I know is going to be amazing and fantastic. I don't want to sit there and hype. I don't play the hype piece. I just tell people exactly what it is. If I tell you what it is what it is. It's going to be crazy Saturday. Nuts. And it's a sneaker ball. like it's the kicks. It's the kicks, locks, fades, and shades, brilliantly filthy. It's all red. Come on. We're going to be in there with kicks on. You can be relaxed, throw your kicks, sneak, put some shades, let your hair rock. And we're going to play good music. We're going to mess with you. I instituted today.
All right, Mojave. Post that in the event page.
One last thing. I know you're going to be for this. I instituted today. We are going to do the Smell Good contest. see, I knew your ass was going to laugh about that. Smell Good contest whereby... Ladies, we're going to pick five gentlemen from the crowd who smell exceedingly good. I know Van Meadow is going to be among that, but you know Van Meadow's, Acyon, Dawood. And ladies, you get to smell them, and then you hug the one that you feel has the best smell. And the person who gets the most hugs wins an Erotica Slam hoodie. Fresh. Dope. Oh, yeah.
That's
going to be good.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it, my brother. But now I've got to get you over to that VIP lounge, brother, so I can keep this party going. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tuesday Night, a.k.a. Iron Man. Ladies and gentlemen, Mojave, check him out this coming Tuesday and then this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Philly. All right, my brother. One love, one like. Right. Take your back off.
Baby.
There it is. Man, whew, that brother can talk, can't he? Somebody had to say it. I know one of y'all in the background saying it, but somebody had to say it. But everything that he was saying was detrimental and very vital to this show, to what we're discussing. And he hit the nail on the head. So let's bring in the next artist, ladies and gentlemen, Tila Shao, Mrs. Promoter Supreme. Uh-oh. Miss Promoter Supreme, Miss. I know. I had to catch it. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Now that you're here, man, we got some stuff to talk about, right?
Right.
So. What can a man do to demonstrate? Woman that he is worthy to lead. Let's talk about it.
Let me tell you something. One thing that really gets to me is when a man can sit there and use wisdom and make me think, like, I might need to change my mind about certain things. Like, where Danielle was saying earlier that submit means agree. There might be a way that I was viewing certain things, and there's, you know, I'm like, okay, so in my thought, you know, I'm like, okay, this is the right answer. Well, the right answer for me. And it's just like, I'm not saying that I'm saying that being a representative or that being who the role I play. That's not it. What I'm saying is, is that this is my belief system. You know, this is what I go by. And my odd principle has been, like, what I go by. And in regards to, you know, how to look for the qualities and skills, you know what I'm saying, in either a man looking for a woman or a woman looking for a man. And if those who don't know that, it is a woman's highest calling is to lead a man to his soul, as to unite him with source. Her lowest calling is to seduce him, separating him from his soul and leaving him aimlessly wandering. And rightly, a man's highest calling is to protect a woman so she is free to walk the earth unharmed. A man's lowest calling is to ambush her and force his way into the life of a woman. And that's physically, mentally, emotionally, so on and so forth. And the same for women. What I'm understanding here is this is basically saying the same thing, where a man has to feel secure that his woman's not going to, you know, influence him the wrong way. I'll say that because, you know,
because women have the power to do that, right? I mean, we've seen it throughout time. I mean, you know, we always look at Adam and Eve, right? Everyone always talk about that, but we could talk about Samson, right?
They say women cause wars.
You know, we could talk about David. You know, David had to have that man's wife. He had to have that man's wife so bad. He sent him off into war to be killed so he can have that man's wife.
Right.
You know, my Lord.
Right. And it's just like, you know, with, you know, you brought up Samson, right? Delilah was sent there to seduce him, cut his hair
off.
He lost his power. You know what I'm saying?
Lost all of it.
That's, she was operating in her lowest calling. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Whereas you have Ruth. You know, she was there with her husband till he passed away, and she mourned him for so long until she found Boaz. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God rewarded her honor towards him. So, yeah. But, yeah, a man has to feel safe with his spirituality, with his vulnerability, you know, with the woman that he deems worthy. And this is after first date. And then, because both of you guys are doing a whole interview process, you know, however long you guys decide to date, you know. So it's like first date, you get to see the good qualities and stuff like that. The dates following is basically just to see if they are consistent with the same behaviors that they exude on night one. So this goes back to what Mojave said, where if you are operating in that already, you don't have to force yourself or even prove yourself.
Right.
Day one, you already set the precedent. You know, you set the precedent. So going forward, all you're doing is just saying, hey, this is who I am every day. You know, so I don't have anything to prove to you. Just watch me work.
Just watch me work. I think I have a question for listening to everyone talk. I have, I think from a follow-up show for this. It's just a question. Does consistency have a growth pattern, right? And I'll explain.
I don't think so.
So
I mean, or maybe, yeah, go ahead with your explanation.
Well, my thought here is, if the man is demonstrating to the woman his consistency and to be worthy enough to lead, can his consistency grow and elevate beyond what his current consistency is? Y'all think about that. We're going to talk about that. Definitely going to talk about
okay.
that. But you,
so I'll
but
hold
you,
my
you,
answer
you,
until
you
whenever.
Yeah. You got it. You got it. Absolutely. But no, I definitely feel what you're saying. And listening to everyone talk, you know, I'm sure all of us have had a change in response, except for me, because I didn't hear everybody. I just talked. But listening to everyone, there's definitely more depth to just the consistency. You know, Jamie had a whole laundry list. I'm like, go ahead, girl, go ahead. Let me hear this list. Post it on the event page so other men can read. Because you do have men like me who like to read and will read what you post. But, you know, you guys are making some very, very strong points. And you're telling us. That's why I said I'm taking notes, man. I'm literally taking notes, and I might listen to this show again tomorrow, just so I don't miss anything. But
right. Yeah, but Mojave made me change my answer like real quick, like.
Didn't he though?
I was gonna be like, all right, I see you, checkmate. Yes.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. It's like, wow, bro, really?
But
He was dead on, you know. He was dead on. So
that's the other thing for me, because
go ahead.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. And I know the thing for me was like, if I have my mind set to something, and you bring in wisdom and sound reasoning for said wisdom, you have my full attention, because the way my mind works, that child, well, not, I can't say that child, that person deep down inside that's willing to learn more and receive more will receive the lesson in that period. You don't have to fake anything from that.
Right.
It's absolutely not fabricated. It's authentic. So you don't have to prove anything to me. I just need to watch and be observant.
Right. Right. Whew, my God. Hey, man, y'all really did y'all thing tonight. But did you bring a piece for us tonight?
I am going to give a short one because, we only have a little bit of time left. So thank you. All the wise. It is a daring game we play, yet the world would fail to exist without it. Many have borne the weight of its joy and pain, yet we have all at some point been victims and victors of it. No one knows all the wise. We choose to suffer and cry, reaching depths in sky. Do we give up or try? Do we let love or die? For all the wise know not all the wise. We've looked to and fro, searching high and low. There will be no distance too great. If love calls, we go. Through a world of trials for the sake of a prayerful, triumphant goal. Yet, love has no love, not for one, not for all. Yet to heaven, we fall into our knees and begged in submission. We will crawl all for the sake of love. And yet, you can look here and there, searching almost everywhere for all the answers. For all the wise know not all the wise. But does that mean you give up and you don't try? Does that mean that heart won't ache and the eyes won't cry? Yes, love is a hurting thing, but in its essence, love is comprised of both the bliss and the agony. Is that not of a cruel duality? It is the balance of what it is meant to be. And if we search our ego, there we will find that loving each other in the balance would be, in fact, loving oneself all the same. And that's the ultimate discovery as to why the wise continue to seek the answer to all the wise. And so our journey continues. Poem.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
The balance of love, the the ebb and flow, the hurt, the pain, and the feel good, and this essence you talked about. I like that. Love that piece. I love that
piece.
Thank you. I'll write it down. We're going to get you over
this
happy lounge. Thank you for your transparency and your openness tonight, as always. There's a glass of champagne from Iceland with your name in it. And I've been told that they actually got a bottle for you for your section. So.
Oh, okay. And I'm on my way. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Tila Shao with her amazing insights and her amazing poetry. Next up, we're going to keep this party going. I'm sorry, before I do. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight is Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. The dial in number, I would give it to you, except we're now into the overtime hour. And you wouldn't be able to dial in because you can no longer hear me. But for those of you who are still here, congratulations. Next up on the mic, we have one half host of the Erotic Love Zone, Epiphany Zone, Miss VIP. Hey, Adrian.
Hi, Van. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, great. I like your topic. I really like your topic.
Thank you. So let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. What can a man do to demonstrate to a woman that he is worthy to lead?
At this point, it's like a mix of Mojave, Dayel, Tila Shao, because I have someone in my life now that really did not have to do anything. And by his word, he said, my word is my bond. That was number one. And he communicates, you know, very freely. And he provides a safe haven for me. And that's like what Danielle mentioned. I have to have somewhere safe. And he provided that for me. I admit that I had given up a long ago because I haven't been really involved with anyone since 2000, one date there, but never anything because no one could handle me for real.
Right.
And
right.
People used to think I was intimidating, and I'm like, no, I just don't feel I need anyone to do anything for me because I have it. But, you know, and the Lord had other plans, so. But he didn't have to do much. Yeah, so I really think that he can, and far he has. And I guess the completion will be soon. So,
okay.
I got a question
because I've as I've listened to everyone speak, I have a follow up question. You know how Danya be doing. I got a follow up question. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I got a follow up question. So I got a follow up question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the man demonstrating to a woman that he is worthy to lead. How much does age play a factor?
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
Okay.
Not to me, not in my life here, because actually I'm the older one this time. They've been older. And my second was younger, but the dates were older, but no one, like I said, no one ever really dealt with me for real. No one said I was the one to have my independence. until recently. So at this point, to me, age doesn't make a difference. you know, first, but then I was like, so I was pretty good. Yeah, sure, no code. So, man, so if there's maturity, then that's fine. If there's no maturity, then you know they're too young and they can't handle it.
Okay.
Someone else is old and can't handle it either. But,
so,
you know.
So if you met a 21-year-old who was mature enough to lead and showed you that and was consistent and demonstrated everything that everyone talked about, then he'd be a candidate in your book.
Ooh. Now, you know what, buddy? You're going to make me tell something I don't want to tell.
I mean, I'm just, you know, it's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it. But
yeah, and
it's cool for
you. Know what?
Right?
No. In a real splash of transparency, I did that one time. I was in, I'd say, my early 50s. And a little young boy, you know, comes up to me, oh, I can do this, I can do that. I'm like, really? And for a minute, dude had a lot of consistency going on. But it was just something in the back of my mind was like, no, something wrong. And he just couldn't handle, I don't think he could handle that, the fact that I had already, like, built and already had what I needed to have. And he just felt he couldn't bring it. He felt he could lead, but I was like, you feel you could bring it, you can bring it. But he didn't feel he could bring it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
So,
yes. All right. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, you're a little transparent. I love it. What piece you got for us tonight?
This is very short and untitled because it was I was playing in that other mood, the grandma mood, so I had to whip up something.
Okay, well, the mic is yours.
Thank you. I love you. I really do. And when you call me and talk for hours, I'm smiling, and I feel you do the same because we vibe. When we touch, you're all I see. From your lips will always be your name. You had me from day one. You told me who you were with honesty and truth. You had everything no one did, loyalty, communication, and consistency. You provided a safe haven for me. You are worthy to lead. You went old school, told my parents your intention, proved to them you're not a fool. You said your word was mine, even when the worst offenses were done against you or gave up on love. I admit I did, because no one was able to handle me. You caught me just before I fell into the abyss. Love shone through like the brightest light, but could it really be like this? It is, and we walk together. It's everything, and it's forever, and that's that piece.
Oh, man, VIP. Oh, man. Those closing lines was everything for me. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
This was beautiful, beautifully written, dynamic piece of ink.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. It was short. I wanted a little bit more. I ain't going to lie. I was being greedy, but.
Yeah, I know.
But it was a, I loved it.
Maybe I'll speak on that for some time later. All
right. Sounds good. Now, before I send you over to the VIP lounge, can you tell people what you got going on at City Radio?
Absolutely. As aforementioned, my beautiful diva, LaProla, and I are in the erotic love zone. And if y'all haven't been tuning in to, we have been having some good conversation, dynamite poetry, scorching poetry, and you're guaranteed to have a great time when you do. So y'all come through Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. Standard Time, and that's it. Back to you.
All right. Hey, man, she right. If y'all been missing out on the erotic love zone, y'all better get yourselves there and have a good old time like we be doing. But get on over there, grab your flat, that bubbly, and stick around and enjoy the rest of the show, all right?
All right. One love, one mic.
One mic. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Ms. VIP Epiphany Zone, one half host of the Erotic Love Zone. Let's keep this party going. Next up on the mic, y'all, we've got the man himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. What it do, baby, baby?
Baby, baby. What it do, Vance Meadows? How it goes?
What it do? What it do, For Real, the Poet Douglas?
What it do? Shannon Habosa. What it do?
Welcome to Epiphany Radio, bro. Welcome to Epiphany Radio.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Excellent, excellent. I mean, you know, you paved the way for us, so it's only fitting that we welcome a retired member back into the community.
Well, hand thank
hand
you. Wink. Yeah. Feels good. Feels good, bro.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Hey, man, well, look, we're not going to beat around the bush tonight, bro. We're going to jump right into it, man. You know, we're going to jump right into it.
What can a man do?
What can a man do, bro, to demonstrate to a woman that he is worthy to lead? Let's talk about it, bro.
What can a man do? Ain't a damn thing. I would say nothing. Why? If he didn't fuck up, there should be nothing. See, if his character and who he is didn't speak loud enough when they met, and that goes for both parties. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
For both parties. I'm going to change it up a little bit. I'm sorry. I noticed you're showing anything. But for both parties, you know, if we took our time and all that good shit, and I'm who I am and I'm putting my best foot forward, shouldn't be shit I have to prove to no damn body. You only got to show yourself approved to the most time. You know what I'm saying? But if you go into a relationship and you are who you are, I mean, they accept who you are, what proof, what the hell proof you got to show somebody?
Speak, bro.
Just saying. I mean, the kind thing to do is to, you know, show somebody that you care for them, show somebody that you love them. I mean, that's the human thing to do. But to prove yourself, I mean, proof should be in the pudding. If you're carrying yourself correctly, let's just add that on there. If you're carrying yourself correctly, man, you shouldn't have to prove yourself to nobody. You know, simple as that.
You're right. I couldn't agree more. You know, but living in the world that we live in today, we're living in a social media driven personas, if you will. And never have I ever seen a day like I see today where the emphasis is on show me more because of what everybody is seeing in the social media realm. I mean, everyone's got an opinion about something, right? I had to share with a good brother that there is someone's opinion that I do not listen to because of I don't respect his position or his opinion or take advice from the like. And that's only because it's an opinion of his experience. And I don't agree with his opinion of his experience. So I just choose not to take his advice. But when it comes to being a man, a leader, my character show that. I shouldn't have to, just like y'all are saying, I shouldn't have to demonstrate or tell you or show you. But in all essence, I do have to show you because my actions have to show you. My words, my commitment, my consistency, my communication.
I will agree.
Otherwise,
I will agree.
Otherwise, man, thank you, bro. We would walk around like, you know, I go back to our robot. Will Smith did his darnest, man, to tell people about them robots, man, but nobody listened. Nobody listened. And that's how I feel sometimes that we as men, we can sit out here and say till we blew in the face, hey, I got feelings and emotions too, but you're not listening. No one's listening. So because I got these feelings and these emotions as a man, does that make me unworthy to lead? No. But you got women out here say, boy, You too soft for me. Give me that rough neck with them Timbos dragging. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I feel you there, bro. I feel you there.
And then they wonder why they got a deadbeat daddy. Well, you picked him. Right?
Yeah, that seems how it goes. Yeah. You know, and even in the wild, if I can, I hope I don't mess this up. I'm going to go somewhere. Even in the wild, in the animal kingdom, you know, the male, there's certain things the male does to attract the women, the female, okay? Some uses colors, some use scent, some perform certain actions, you know what I'm saying? Now, if I was a peacock and you was going by my colors, now, if my colors caught you, they caught you, they attracted you and they caught you, what else do I have to prove to you? You chose me for that. You chose me for my colors. You liked them. That's it. You know, and I use the colors as a metaphor to to character, who we are, who we present ourselves to be, should be enough.
Yeah.
And like I said in the beginning, now I can see now if you just messed up somewhere, now you got to prove. You know, that you care or that you love somebody, you know, when you wasn't showing that you care or you love that somebody, that's a whole different story. But if you're showing it, you walking in it, you walking with your best foot forward, you doing all the proper things a man should do, what else do you have to prove to someone? Because if I feel like if I have to go outside myself and prove and doing all this proven and shit, then I don't need to be with you. You're the wrong one for me. If I got to keep on doing stuff to show you, to tell you that I love you, and my actions and the way I walk isn't enough.
Yeah.
If I'm being a righteous man, I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel you.
Okay. If. You know? If.
If. Well, this brother that discussed the animal kingdom talking about peacocks and colors. Well, you know you watch too much Animal
Show your
Planet.
Feathers. I watch a lot of that, man.
That's all right. I like watching it too. I was watching it the other day, looking at these looking at this man catch these stingrays, bro. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a whole different one. I saw that one too. You know what I'm saying? But you know, there's a lot of male lions in the pride, but not all of them are meant to rule over the pride. You know,
I was just talking to somebody about this. Just talk to somebody about what the male lion's role is.
You know,
and yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
They're there. But it's only one alpha.
It's only one, man. And he ain't got to prove a damn thing. He ain't even got a hunt. So you know what I mean?
I just talked about this very thing. Matter of fact, I believe it was today. Today even, but you know.
Excellent, my brother. He ain't got to prove nothing, man. But protect, give them protection, and be the man, the male lion that he is. You know what I'm saying? And you know, sling a lot of, put his children everywhere. That's all he do. But we can't act like the lion, though. We can't put our children everywhere.
We cannot.
That's a no-no. That's when you got to prove yourself.
That's it. All right, my brother. Now that we got that out the way, man, I want to hear what you got for us tonight.
I'm glad that's over, man. I ain't planning on doing a whole lot of talking when I call off in here tonight.
We already got somebody for that.
Yeah.
You feel me, baby? Shining up on
Sunday. Yes, he hosts on Tuesday. But I ain't saying no names.
Yeah. All right, bro. Go ahead, man. What piece you got for us today?
Oh, well, man, I done dug something out the archives of my life. Has nothing to do with the show, mating rituals, or anything like that. It's just something I just chose. I said, found it. I said, I chose it. I found it, and I'm going to do it. This is called Sweet. Real Sweet.
All right, bro. The mic is yours.
Thank you, bro. Real Sweet. This thing we call the relationship. Sweet. Real sweet. Time fucked us both. Funny the sense of humor of time. Time, I wish you'd stop fucking around. I've lost weight fucking around with you. Wasted were you messing with this chick. Thought she was a goddess. Turned out to be just some bitch. One with daddy issues, real spiritual, but no earthly good. Sweet. Finding someone that knows God like you do. A helpmate for you and you for her. Someone to take that long walk with. To love and give praise to the Most High with. But I should have took my time, found out we was worshiping two separate gods. Nah, she turned out to be psychotic. A sociopath, an introvert, making a poor attempt at introvertedness. She was truly bipolar. Sweet. She took sweet pics, beautiful eyes, the most wonderful smile, all the while hiding behind all this fucking bitterness. Bittersweet. While the meds were working. Mercy. Ones I wish I knew that she was taking. But I had a sweet tooth, so I guess that I allowed myself to see only what I felt I needed to see. Sweet. The feeling of loving her and being loved by her was everything. Looking back at it now, seems just like a dream, but what a nightmare. Sweet. It would have been, sweet it would have been if I wasn't there. Hand stuck in that poison cookie jar. I love candy, but that shit fucks with my teeth. I can still taste the bitterness on lips that's never felt her kiss. Dark, 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 real dark. God knows how much I hate dark chocolate. I'm a chocolate lover, a lover of chocolate, but I can't and won't eat that shit. Not no more. I never settled for her. I will never settle for her. She was sugar-free, sweet, and low-type shit. An ill-constructed s'mores, some kind of mixture of apple cider vinegar and vanilla ice cream. Ooh, she left a bad taste, fucked up my taste buds, and left me soured on love. I was stupid. Falling for all that sweet shit, all that milk chocolate sweetness, knowing full fucking well that I'm a diabetic. Sugar. Sugar makes me sick. Sweet. Real sweet. This thing we call the relationship. Sweet. Real sweet. No matter how many times you dip shit in chocolate, cover it up with almonds and nuts, it's still shit. Cover it over, and it still stinks. See, it reeks, and she was full of it. Caramel-coated bullshit. Dark chocolate, nah. Huh. That's that bitter shit. Tried it, never liked it, had my fill of it. Sweet. Sweet, real sweet was her fakery. Real sweet. Her shit gave me cavities. I had to see a fucking dentist. Ooh, real sweet. Called the relationship. For real. In peace.
Dang, bro. You made me not even want to eat no more candy. Hey.
I love chocolate, bro. But not dark chocolate.
You done messed up my sweet tooth, bro. Just messed it up.
That shit nasty.
Give me something sweet after the show. You just messed it up. Dang.
Hey, man, just get milk. Stick with milk chocolate. That dark chocolate shit, they talking about, ooh, that's good for you, man. Fuck dark chocolate. I can't stand the taste of that shit. Put some sugar in it.
I don't like dark chocolate either. It's not sweet enough.
Okay. I'm glad you agreed with me on that, bro, because I thought I was, the only one.
We still talking about candy, right?
Yes, sir.
Candy? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Candy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like dark chocolate. Milk chocolate is my favorite. Anybody can tell you that knows me really well. I love milk.
Yes, definitely candy.
Bro, you're a man. With that dynamite piece, bro, thank you so much, my brother. Hey, man, listen, man, listen, listen.
Yes, sir.
Bro, we have the luxury of having the CEO of not just Epiphany Radio, y'all, but Raw Links as well. Why be average when you can be raw? Hey, man, let them know where they can get some of these fine jewels and gems, man, because I hope you're bringing an assortment with you to Philly, man, so we can just pick from some, man, because I got a feeling you can get a lot of them, bro.
Hey, look, I got brand new poet bracelet sets. They come in twos, y'all. You know what a set means. It could be two or three. But they come in sets of two bracelets for the price of almost one, but a little bit more. You can find Raw Links at Facebook at Raw Links Be Raw at Facebook.com. Or you can go to author Larry D. Maddox at Facebook.com and inbox us your choice of Raw Links. Custom-made healing bracelets. Hey, or see somebody at Epiphany Radio, whatever show it might be, hit them up and they'll guide you along the way. And that's that piece. Baby, baby, yeah.
Baby, that's it, y'all. Y'all hear it from himself, Butler Maddox, for real, the poet Douglas. Amen. Looking forward to locking on this week. I cannot wait. But you know it's the VIP. Man, listen, man, don't worry about the bill. I got it covered. You know, there's some room in the budget for us to have champagne on every other Saturday. So
that's
what
I'm talking about.
You know, so go and get your
all right.
They said two bottles for you. You know, you ain't got to work, so they make sure they take care of you.
All right, my brother. I appreciate that. One love, one mic, baby.
One love, one mic. Take your socks off.
One love. Baby, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was for real, the poet Douglas. Ladies and gentlemen, join Epiphany Radio tomorrow night for the Inspiration Factory with your host, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, yours truly poetic. Monday night, y'all's King and Queen's Quarters with Queen Simmons and King Atterbury. Tuesday night, you heard from Mojave, we got Fly Speak. Make sure you tune in. Wednesday night, the Erotic Love Zone, Miss VIP and La Pearl La Negra. Thursday night show is the Get Down. J. Rob the Wise, Son and Yours, really poetic. Friday night show is going to be Iron Sharpens Iron with Anonymity. And then Saturday night show, next Saturday, will be Poetic Therapy with Rob Poetry Marlboro and supposedly, technically, La Pearl La Negra, but as you heard from Mojave, the Epiphany family will be in Philly, but I believe Rob Portumaro still may be doing the show. We'll have to stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, we talked about a lot of things here tonight. A man demonstrating his to a woman that he is worthy to lead. There were a lot of comments, a lot of things that I agreed with. They all fall into the mixture of what should be done or what a man can do. But not all men are ready for that step. But ladies, it's up to you to choose wisely in that area, because you could have picked the wrong leader, but you fell in love with them, and now it's too late. You kind of stuck with them. You haven't walked away from them. But it's okay. It's all right. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy Saturday, a holiday Saturday, to hang out with me and spend time with me for these 2.5 hours as we discuss some important topics and to be inspired and to hear your poetry. Amazing. Amazing. Without you, there is no Epiphany Radio. So we thank you. Epiphany Radio does not take it lightly that you come through night in and night out and hang with us and spend time with us. So for that, we say we thank you, and we love you for it. So tune in tomorrow night. Can't wait to see you there. One love, one mic. Remember, always take your socks off. Baby, baby. Peace.